Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Feeling Lighter podcast by WeShape, where we are shedding old beliefs one episode at a time. I'm going to start that over. Damn it. I was so close. Okay, here we go. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Feeling Lighter podcast by WeShape, where we are shedding old beliefs one episode at a time. Mm-hmm. Because the bottom line is how you feel about yourself actually changes everything. So I'm Katie, and I'm here with our incredible co-host, Dr. Lisa Folden.
Hey, hey.
And Lisa, I am extremely excited about our guest.
Same.
Like, I know she's a personal friend of yours, mm-hmm. and I am just so grateful that she was willing to come on our podcast and talk with us, because I know we're kind of a baby podcast right now. But I'm almost done with one of her books, and it has been life-altering. So I can't wait to get into it. So I'm going to read her bio, and we're going to welcome her so I can maximize this time of this episode, because I have a whole list of things I want to get to today.
Sounds like a plan.
Are we ready? Okay, so Nedra Glover Tawab is the author of the New York Times bestsellers, two bestsellers, mm-hmm. Drama Free and Set Boundaries, Find Peace. A licensed therapist and sought-after relationship expert, she has practiced relationship therapy for more than 15 years. Tawab has appeared as an expert on Red Talk Table. Oh, I'm sorry. Tawab has appeared on... You guys, wow.
You've got it.
Okay. Tawab has appeared as an expert on Red Table Talk, The Breakfast Club, Good Morning America, and CBS Morning Show, to name a few. Her work has been highlighted in the New York Times, The Guardian, and Vice, and has appeared on numerous podcasts, including The School of Greatness, We Can Do Hard Things, and 10% Happier. Tawab runs a popular Instagram account where she shares practices, tools, and reflections for mental health and relationship. She lives in Charlotte, North Carolina with her family. And here we are. I don't know if you want to add anything since you personally know her.
I do. Nedra is my friend, and I'm so proud of her. I've gotten to see, you know, she taught me boundaries early on in our friendship. Like, Nedra's the type you'll send a text like, hey, do you want to go do this, and this after, you know, church or whatever? And she'll be like, no. And I'm like, oh, there's no explanation.
Well, that's on my list of questions.
But she taught me through her actions and engaging with her and being in friendship and community with her. And when people don't know anything about boundaries, and I know we're going to talk about this, you'll think someone is mean or or aggressive or callous or whatever. But in knowing her, she will literally, you know, do so many things for the people she cares about. So she's very generous, but learning boundaries in action was very cool. So seeing her release her first book and then Drama Free after that, it was like, oh, this is so cool to see the world get to experience this now. So I'm so happy she's here.
When I was reading the book, mm-hmm. and we were connecting about prepping for the show, I had said to you, like, oh man, I am, like, this is hitting home in so many ways. And one of the things I really try to do, what we really as a team try to do here at WeShape and on the Feeling Lighter podcast, is get to some of the root shit.
Yes.
And this is a root thing. Mm-hmm. This is a life-changing root thing. Mm-hmm. And when I said that to you, you said, yeah, and guess what, Katie? She lives it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, so wonderful to hear. So, Nedra, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome.
We are so happy to have you.
Thank you for the warm welcome. I will say, Lisa, if I had to respond today, I would say no, but I'd love to catch up next week.
You do.
You see how I've evolved.
I love it. But I got it. And we talked about it, and you explained, and it makes so much sense. No can be a complete sentence, but sometimes you give explanation, but it's not always necessary. And I love you teach that in your work and on your platform. So thank you for that.
I mean, yeah, so if you haven't caught on, today we're talking about boundaries. I have Nedra's two books here. The first one that I'm just about to finish is Set Boundaries, Find Peace, A Guide to Reclaiming Yourself. And then her newest book, A Guide to Managing Unhealthy Family Relationships, called Drama Free.
Yes.
So we have these books here. You know, Nedra, I want to understand what got you into this work. This is, again, this is root stuff. Like, basically, I'm almost done with your book. I have, like, one or two more chapters. And I'm realizing, if you're unsatisfied in life, revisit boundaries. And so it's a root thing. And I just have curiosity, like, what got you into this particular niche of boundaries?
You know, when I was growing up, I saw a lot of people living lives that they felt out of control of. Like it was almost happening to them and they had no agency. Like I was an inquisitive child, so I would ask questions like, well, why are you dating him? And it's like, it was almost like, well, this is the person I have to be with. I'm like, wow, no choice, no choice. And so I didn't realize that choice was an option until, you know, I was in my teens and I was like, oh my gosh, we have so many options. We have, you know, we have agency. We're able to decide things. And when we feel like we can't, that is due to a lack of empowerment. It's not because you actually can't. It's because there is something in you that has been trained to sort of think that way. And it can be cultural, right? It could be a whole family of people who feel disempowered. It could be a whole friend group. It could be a whole work crew. It could be a whole work team. I've heard that. Oh, we have a horrible boss. And I'm like, eight of y'all together? Feel this? The whole team is disempowered. You know, sometimes we don't recognize the ways in which we allow things to happen to us and how we teach that, allowing to other people, how we teach it to our kids. Like, you know, people just say what they're going to say. No, they don't. You know, there's just some things that are just not, it's not good teaching. I don't care how long we've been teaching it. You know, we learned that about Q-tips. We learned that about baby powder. At some point, somebody has to take a stand and say, no more baby powder, no more whatever. And I think sometimes we forget that we have the power to do that in our relationships, to courageously stand up and say, well, actually, I know in the past, I've always been the person to host Thanksgiving, but maybe you have new furniture this year. And that's the thing empowering you. Right?
Right.
Yeah. This year, we should do it at your house.
So what I hear you saying
So
what I hear you saying is that some of us have a belief that we don't have a choice. Yeah. And what I hear you're the work that you're doing is I'm actually going to give you permission to have a choice, and you do have a choice. And you're not, and you're very clear about this in the book. You can't, it's not going to be necessarily easy. It's not necessarily going to come without guilt. But the most powerful thing you're saying is if there's something in your life that you don't like, you have a choice in the matter. Yeah. Whether you want to believe that or not doesn't make it not true. You have a choice to say something and to do something. And when I heard that in your book, I was like, damn it, now I'm responsible. Like, it was a little bit easier to be the victim.
Blame people.
It was a little bit easier to be the victim of my circumstance. Well, this person's just overbearing, and this person doesn't respect time, and this. And it's like, actually, it's your fault. If your life. Fault. Yeah. And that's a hard realization because then guess what? Then I have to do something about that. Yep. And so I just appreciate you giving people permission and saying you do have choice and you're not the victim of your circumstance. And you can actually speak up. You can set boundaries. You can, you know, you can teach people how to treat you.
Yeah.
You don't have to be the victim in that relationship. And that is an incredibly, I mean, it's scary, but it's an incredibly empowering stance. And I want to start with, because boundaries are a buzzword right now.
Yeah, for sure.
So I want to start with boundaries 101. Like, can you just tell us, like, what is, in your definition, what is a boundary?
A boundary is a way of being. It can be a phrase. It can be your behavior, but it is the shift of your needs and expectations in relationships. So, for example, you may say, oh my gosh, I'm so busy at work and my mom keeps calling. I know she doesn't want anything, but she wants to chat. How do I make my mom stop calling? Well, we can't make your mom stop calling, but you can turn your ringer off. You could send her to voicemail. You could shoot her a text and say, hey, I'm at work. This isn't a good time for me. I'll call you when I get off. You could say, hey, when I'm, you know, at work, is really not, there's so many things you could do. But for many of us, we feel like the thing that we must do is either allow this person to talk to us because they want to. We have to give them permission. Because they want to talk to us, even when it's not a good time, even if we're really irritated, we have to say yes because they want it. So boundaries is saying, well, my need in this moment is this other thing. And what I need to honor is that? Because if I don't, I'll be mad at you. I'll be mad at myself. I'll be mad at a stranger today. Like some way within me, it will come up and come out. And that's where why we become passive aggressive. That's why we become aggressive. When I see somebody getting to the point of road rage, I'm like, ooh, that is not about them being cut off.
Right.
It's about a bunch of other stuff. When I see someone arguing with a cashier, I'm like, this person needs a hug.
You're slipping them your business card.
Hug and a boundary.
I'm going to start a hugging business next. But this person needs a hug. Because it really is, I feel disrespected, not by this person, by so many other people. You just met this person. This person just cut you off. This isn't that big of a deal, but there are so many ways in which we feel disempowered in our interpersonal relationships that we will take that energy to whoever we can actually dish it to.
That's so big. That's so big. I want to just talk about, since we're still sort of on boundaries 101, I think that's a great definition and it's helpful for people to understand how to actualize them in their lives. But like I was saying earlier, as you taught me about boundaries in our friendship and in relationship, sometimes people mistake people's boundaries as being mean or angry or too aggressive or, you know, just not caring. And you do sort of define and break down different types of boundaries. Like there are levels to boundaries and I guess healthy boundaries versus unhealthy boundaries. Can you talk a little bit about that just so our listeners can kind of get a better understanding of what that looks like?
Well, healthy boundaries are for safety and comfort in a relationship. And I would say unhealthy boundaries are typically used to control other people and their actions. So sometimes we are not actually placing a boundary. We're trying to control a person. Okay. We really can't tell people what to do with themselves. We can set some parameters around what they're allowed to do with us. So, you know, sometimes we'll say like, how do I make this person stop doing X? Or how do I get them to understand? That to me is an indication that you're trying to get them to have boundaries that they don't want to have. Now, the way in which you operate with them is what the boundaries can be. We can't change other people and they don't have to agree with our boundaries. Hopefully they do. Many people will. And they'll say, okay, they can't go to this thing or, oh, no, they're not available. And they're fine with that. But there are some people in our lives who will push back. They will get upset. Yeah. They will give you the silent treatment. They will do all sorts of things and trickery to get you to do what they want you to do. And so it's not a part of, you know, maybe your protocol to say, okay, I have to figure out how I can say this in a way that they can agree with or understand. The understanding and the agreement of the boundary, that's no longer your thing. That is their thing. They don't have to get it. And sometimes when we really haven't been trained to tolerate being told no. That's such a hard word, even for adults.
Yeah.
Adults struggle with a no. It's like we revert to our 7-year-old selves when someone tells us no. What do you
mean? It's like, why?
Yeah, it's like, why? It's like, why do you think people have to want to do everything that you want to do? Why do you think that people have the availability when they're saying, you know, I have a lot of other things on my plate? You know, sometimes if we're hearing no and we don't have anybody else to do it, that's an opportunity for us to build community. That's a sign that more people are needed. It's not a sign that I need to make this one person do this thing. If I don't have anybody else to help me with this, that's a me problem. I need to discover more folks from my community. Maybe I need to pay for some help. You know, it's not always about making the people who don't have the capacity do more. We are overusing our people in many cases. We're trying to make them, you know, enjoy things they don't even like. You know, I think one of the worst things we do sometimes in friendships is have people do things they don't like to do. I remember a time when I lived in Detroit, and I used to like to go to this program at the African American Museum, and I went with one particular friend every single year. And then my other friend, she said, why don't you ever invite me? And I said, I didn't think you like it. And she said, well, I want to go. Oh, boy. I took her. It was the worst experience ever. She talked through the whole program. Why did I do this? She's ruining my thing. She's ruining this thing I want. And only reason I invited her is because she felt like she didn't even like the thing. Mm-hmm. So what I probably, in hindsight, should have said, hey, no, this is not your thing. Perhaps we can go to the movies.
Let's do something different.
Let's do something different. You don't even like this thing. So sometimes we want to be included. And so it's like, you know, if this person says that I'm a bridesmaid, I'm close to them. Or, you know, so sometimes we want to be included in stuff. And there is another space for us in a person's life. Sometimes we feel like because of our role, they have to say yes. Because I am this person's parent, whenever I call, I don't care if they're 49 and a half, they better answer that phone. Because I'm their
that's
sister.
That's a big one.
Yeah, because I'm their sister, I should be the first person to know. You know, people have these rules that although they don't speak them, they may not say, hey, this is the sister rule. They may act that rule out. In your relationship with them. And when you're not following this rule that you're not very clear on, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Katie is over here.
I'm sweating. I think what I really want to connect with here is, you know, you talk a little bit about being assertive. And I was really having a hard time with that one. Sometimes I feel like, you know, I've heard this before. A lot of people that I follow talk about like clear communication is kind communication. And I'm like, well, do you think it's okay if maybe I use a lot of gray language because I'm so afraid, like I don't want to impose on people, or if someone asks me something and I don't want to do it, I'm like trying to shuffle my way through. I just can't say no. I have to like come up with like a paragraph reason. And so when you talk about, like, I'm not quite at assertive. And what do you think that all of this is from? Is it from, like, we're just afraid of being rejected? We're afraid of relationship dynamics changing? It's like, I think, for me personally, I think change is hard. And I don't want to come in and I used to say yes to everything. And now I'm going to start saying no. And I'm going to say no. And I'm going to be assertive about it. And now you're not going to like me. And now we're not going to be friends. Or you're going to not invite me to the thing. And I get afraid. And I don't know. Maybe talk me off this carousel a little bit here.
Well, I don't think many of us have assertiveness training. Where have we been allowed to be assertive? If you grew up in a home where you couldn't talk back, you couldn't ask questions, you couldn't have an opinion of big things happening in your life. I've seen kids not be able to have an opinion about, you know, moving across country. Or leaving their friends for a new school, or having any feeling about these things. Like, even if you express, like, gosh, I'm gonna miss my friends. Oh, you'll get new friends wherever you go. So you are teaching a person, whatever you feel, it doesn't even matter because the bigger situation here is about us. So that assertiveness, it dwindles. And it gets to a point by the time you become an adult, you don't even have a voice anymore. You're trying to figure out, like, what am I supposed to be thinking? What's okay to say? How do I say this? What's the right words? So a lot of folks that I work with, they know exactly what they want. They're trying to figure out the right words because we have been told that we can't even say to someone, no, thank you. So they're like, how do I say no, thank you? I'm like, well, I think you just said it.
No, thank you.
But what we're trying to get to is, how do I say this with the least amount of damage to this person? Because it's not okay to say no thank you to people. It's not okay to decline a request. It's not okay to, you know, not want to be a part of somebody's wedding party. You know, people will end a friendship if you say to them, hey, I actually don't want to be a bridesmaid. I would love to be an observer. If you need me to, you know, pick up the flowers after that's what I'll do. But in terms of the planning and the logistics, but so many people complain about the bridesmaid part of it. But you know why they do it? They can't tell this person no. They can't hear a no.
No.
And so because sometimes there is consequences. Like, so I'm going to use this example of one time I was not in a wedding, but I was invited to a wedding. And this person had decided what I would be wearing to all of the events at the wedding. Like, you're going to come to the rehearsal dinner and you're going to wear this, and I need you to wear this color to the wedding day, and I need you to for pictures because you're going to be in some of the pictures, and you're going to wear this to the, you know, bachelorette party, and you're going to do this. And then finally I just said, I got to talk with you. Like, it kind of feels like you've invited me to be a bridesmaid, but it doesn't sound like you have a bridal party, and I feel like I can't commit to all of this. Mm. And I was actually really proud of myself. Mm-hmm. I was like 7-6 months pregnant at the time. So I think I just was like,
I got to
say something. I can't, this is like the maternity. I didn't, there wasn't enough maternity sites on the internet for me to fulfill all of these obligations.
That part. Yeah.
And so I did say something. It's actually one of the only times I did. And guess what? I got uninvited to many of those events because of that.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And so it's like hard because it's like we do get the courage to speak up, and then you sometimes have to pay a price for it. And then it's like, how does that inspire you to continue on that path?
And that was actually going to be my next question. What do you do with the pushback? Like, what's the response to the pushback on your boundaries?
Well, this is the time where I think the quote of "be the change you wish to see in the world" really matters.
We'll be back in just a moment.
As a reminder, the Feeling Lighter podcast is a part of WeShape, a fitness app that is taking a very different approach. And I wanted to let everyone know about our upcoming Best Moves for You masterclass that WeShape is hosting that you can sign up for free. Take a look at weshape.com/class or click the link in the show notes.
And now back to the Feeling Lighter podcast.
You don't have to do that to people. Even if it's been done to you, you can be the person to allow people to say no to you. You can be the person who allows your children to have an opinion about what's happening in their life. You can be the person to ask someone, you know, how do you feel about this? What is your, you know, what is your preference for this thing? Because sometimes people don't even know their own boundaries, and maybe we are more honoring of who they are than they are. So you can be that person for someone else. We can't control how people respond to our boundaries, but we can certainly control how we respond to other people's boundaries. And sometimes that is tough when we want somebody to do a certain thing and they're like, no, I don't want to. Or we want somebody to show up in a certain way and they exhibit, you know, certain signs that they just can't do that for us. We have to deal with the discomfort of that. And that's really hard. But I certainly wouldn't put that on anyone else to say, you know what, if I can't have boundaries with people, you can't have boundaries with me. Well, let's not do that. Let's allow people, let's be the change in these situations. Because what I think happens is we start to influence the power of people being able to do this more freely without consequences. You know, I think sometimes I love what Lisa said about me at the beginning, because I really live these boundaries, but there are still people in my life who expect that they don't have any boundaries with me. And so they're like,
I'm like, you have two books.
I know.
Bestseller.
You wrote this book. You say all these things. You're on these podcasts. But with me, here's what I want to be able to do with you. And I'm like, you know, all rules apply to all people. There is no mistreatment across the board. There are certain things that will not happen across the board because I am a human being. Yes, I'm a daughter. Yes, I'm a, you know, like all these roles. But there are certain standards that I have for myself as a person, and you should too. I'm not saying it's just for me. I'm saying it's for everybody. So you shouldn't let me do certain things to you.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Because I feel
so
like
you setting your boundaries empowers other people to set their own.
Absolutely. I hope so. You know, I think that this idea that we can control how people feel about it and what they do with it is the biggest hurdle with boundaries, because we want to be able to tell people a really hard thing and have them be okay with it or have them love it. And that's just not the case. If it were that easy, we would have been setting boundaries. This wouldn't even be a book.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it's not that easy. Because everybody is not emotionally mature. They don't have a therapist that they can go explore their discomfort with. They don't have the tools. You may be the only person. I mean, there are a lot of things at play that you may not be aware of that you're trying to, you know, sort of, you're doing some of this work, but everybody is not doing the work. So right. You have the tools to deal with someone telling you no, but this might be the biggest upset for this other person. Some people are 60 years old functioning with a 7-year-old mindset to being told no.
Oh, man. Yeah, this is, I think one of the most eye-opening things for me in the book has been, you know, every month my friend and I do a daily voice, like every day we do a voice memo to each other with a mantra for the month to like remind ourselves, like we're starting our day this way. Mm-hmm. You know, what are we leaning into about like what we need to acknowledge? And this, no surprise, this month, mine wasn't actually to set boundaries because I actually feel like I'm not even there yet. Mine was pause and check in with what your limits are. Because I feel like I don't, it's like I get all the way to this point of like, okay, yes, 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 give, 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 give. And then I'm like, and then it's like a hard no. And then it's like, wait a minute. Maybe the first step for me, and I don't know if you can speak to this, is like, actually, let's do a little practice in knowing what your limits are. And just pausing to see if you actually even want to do that. So that's my mantra for the month is to pause and like check in with what my limits are. But it's reminding me of this question I had for you. Because I'll just full disclosure here. I go from yes, yes, yes to firm no. And then I'm like, when you're talking about boundaries and walls, I was like, oh, I don't have the boundary, I have the wall. Mm-hmm. I have yes or a wall. And so that's something I need to take responsibility for and examine further. And so that's why I'm focusing on the limits so that I can then move to the boundary before I get to the wall. But can you talk about the difference between boundaries and walls?
Well, walls have no ability to be penetrated. Okay. Boundaries are flexible. They are not the same with everyone. There is some movement within them. As you shift your perspective on certain things in life, your boundary should shift. Your boundary should not be a set standard forever and ever. It's not a holy text. It is, you know, something that you can change as you change. There are some things that might be standard, such as, you know, I'm not going to tolerate anyone, you know, saying certain things to me or something like that. But for some of us, we have a busier season of life at times where it might be a no to certain invites. And then 2 years later, you might want to send a text that says, invite me to everything. Kids are in high school.
I love it.
Yeah. So, you know, you can change that whenever you need to. But with walls, what happens is we actually end up lonely because our boundaries are so high. They're so strict. It's like all people, everything. And we create this like fortress of rules really to keep ourselves safe and to be protected, but it's also very isolating and people cannot even figure out how to be in relationship with you because you won't let anybody be in relationship with you. You know, one of the biggest boundary things that I see a lot of people working through now is having too high boundaries where they are doing everything themselves. They don't need help for anyone. They don't know how to ask for help and to receive. You know, even when people offer, they don't know how to say, okay, yeah, you can do that for me. Their relationships are very transactional, very tit for tat. So that's also a boundary challenge. It's not always, oh my gosh, you don't know how to tell people no. You say no all the time. That's the problem.
Right.
You never have a yes. So there are some things that, you know, we may see, you know, it's a spectrum, right? Like it's always no, it's always yes. And then there's some middle to that. And we want to have healthy boundaries, which is going to be in the middle. It's going to be based on the person and on the situation.
Yeah. And I think you are bringing up an important point. There are many people in my life where I feel like they're very healthy people. Like, you know, I can see that because I can say no and it's not personalized. I can, you know, and there are other relationships in my life where I feel like people push boundaries. Mm-hmm. And then those are the ones where I do feel like I have to have more of a wall because I'm like, you're not hearing, like, so can we go back to that a little bit? Like when somebody doesn't respect your boundary, mm-hmm. when you say no and they just keep pushing and pushing and pushing, what do we do?
You have to issue a consequence. And that consequence, yeah, the consequencing of boundaries can be very tough because our hope is always that this person will get it. Even if we've been in this relationship 30 years and they haven't gotten it in 30 years, we want them to get it.
It's going
to
be the year.
This is going to be the year. This is going to be the year that they finally get it. And surprise, surprise, they are themselves. And they don't get it.
Let me tell you what came up for me when I heard you talk about consequences in your book. My inner critic popped right in and said, who do you think you are giving consequences in to somebody else? You're not, like, why do you think that you can just offer someone a consequence? You're not their parent. You're like, this is more than this episode, Katie. I'll see you in my practice. But my inner critic popped right in and said, consequence?
You are your parent. You're your parent.
Yeah.
And you are mothering yourself. And sometimes that consequence is the result of you trying to protect yourself against people who are saying, no, you must exist in this relationship only in the ways that I expect you to show up. And that's really challenging when people are saying that we can be in this relationship, but you have to do all of the things that I want you to do. I think when people are unwell, when they have substance abuse issues, when, you know, they have a lot of negativity, low vibration, when they have, you know, some mental health challenges that aren't being treated, they are not very aware of themselves. Mm-hmm. Self-awareness is a really hard path. You're reading books, you're going to therapy, you're trying to figure things out. There are a lot of people in the world who are not interested in being self-aware, but they do want to be in relationships. They don't want any self-awareness, but they want to be in relationships. So when you try to tell them about themselves, which I have found to not be very useful, it's just not useful. When a person does not have awareness and you're trying to tell them about themselves, they think you're insane. Because guess what? It's not enough people that will even do that. And so even when they go tell other people, I can't believe they said that about you. Meanwhile, they have talked to you about this other person. And so even saying to them, hey, here's why I don't want to talk to you, or hey, here's why I'm setting this boundary with you, it is not very helpful. Sometimes it's better for people not to know, because what they will do is they will challenge that boundary. They will throw it in your face. They will, well, you didn't say anything about it 4 years ago, or you weren't saying anything about it when Jennifer was, you know, so they come up with all of these things because they're trying to get you to be in relationship with them in a way that is very uncomfortable for you. So they will pull out, you know, all sorts of tools to make you feel bad for having a particular boundary with them.
So you don't even have to educate them on the boundary. You can set it within yourself and not tell them. And then you also need to follow through with your consequences on those boundaries. That's what I'm getting from that.
Yes. Yes.
I like it.
Because, you know, it goes back to, I'm trying to get them to understand why this is important to me. I have heard some of the same people who hate receiving boundaries have very similar boundaries. They have very similar boundaries for people, but they don't want you to have that boundary with them.
Wow.
Because they want to be able to show up in the way that they show up. Everybody does not like accountability. People don't want to think about how they show up in relationships, and they still want to be able to be in those relationships. It's unfortunate, but it is a truth. I think all of us could think of a person who's not interested in, you know, they are problematic and they are not interested in any version of healing themselves. And when you place a boundary with that person, I would expect for it to not be well received. That would be my expectation. If they received it, I would be shocked. I would go play the lottery that day.
lucky.
This is, I think I could win the Mega Millions today. They like that? Wow, this is a lucky day in more ways than one, possibly. But
that's funny.
We have to anticipate that there are just some people who our boundary with ourselves might be figuring out how to be in the relationship with them in a different way. When I journal sometimes, I'll journal all this problematic stuff and they did this and blah, 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 blah. And at the end of it, I write a little line about what I need to do.
Okay.
Need to do differently? They did all this stuff. They caused all this chaos, commotion, or whatever they did this day. What do I need to do? Maybe it's take a different street. I just don't need to drive down that street in the morning because it will always be traffic. Maybe I don't need to tell them certain things because they will always share it with other people. Maybe I don't need to call them first thing in the morning because then I end up irritated the rest of the day. What can I do in this situation with this person who cannot see themselves?
I mean, talk about self-accountability, right? It's like asking yourself, like, how have I participated in this dynamic? And is there something that maybe you don't even need to set up. Maybe we don't even need to go to the boundary. Maybe there's some self-reflection that can happen first before we even have to go there that can change the dynamic by itself. Not always. I'm not trying to get out of the boundary, but I hear what you're saying. And like, you're teaching people how to treat you. You're participating in that dynamic. And maybe we address that first.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I think we've existed, you know, social media wise. I think there was a whole cultural moment around like cutting people off. Like, you know, if somebody's getting on your nerves, you got to cut them off. And I think sometimes we need to cut back. It's not about cutting people off. That's not the only boundary to be set. There are some people we are talking to too often or for too long.
Right. Yeah.
And it's for you to figure it out. It's not for them to say, oh my gosh, I am tired of venting to them. That's not how that works. They love having you listen to them and you feel exhausted after. So it's for you to figure out, what is a time of day? What is how much can I babysit my grandchild? Right? Because sometimes that's the thing. I heard a mother say, like, you know, I'm retired. I want to travel. But my daughter's expectation is that I help raise her kids. And to some extent, I want to help her. But I also want to live this life that I've worked for. How do I balance the two? So, it's so many different areas where we can get really creative. And it's not, okay, well, I have to watch her kids all the time or I won't do anything. It might be, Monday, Tuesday, I watch the kids. And then that way Wednesday, through Sunday, if I want to take a little trip, I'll do that then. It's coming up with something that could work for you and your life.
I love that. Oh, I know we're coming up on time, Nedra, so I want to make sure we have a chance to ask you our big question that we like to ask every episode, which is, what is a belief that you used to have that you no longer have that has shifted your life in a big way?
I think I spoke to it earlier. I used to believe that, for people to understand what your issue is with them, you have to tell them about themselves. Like, they need to know everything you have journaled about, right? Like, oh, I must tell them all of this stuff. And what I have found is it ruins relationships. And sometimes relationships we're not even ready to end. Yeah. Once you let all of that stuff out, it cannot be unsaid. And so some information is just for us to know and to respond to. It is not for us to share. So when we have people who are not open to feedback or ready to be in a space of change, that's just stuff for you to know and for them to find out later or maybe never find out. But It's I used to think like, oh my gosh, I remember I ended a relationship. Oh my gosh, I wrote this person such a long email. Please forgive me, person. Such a long email. Just such a long email. And you did this on January 1st and blah, 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 blah.
And at 2:52
p.m. And it was just, and I think now I'm like, that's not the way to lead a relationship. They didn't even need to know all that stuff. You felt like you were really doing something because these were true offenses for you. But they looked at this stuff and they said, boy, oh boy, this person has lost their mind. This isn't true of me. Mm-hmm. This is not true of me because the version we see of ourselves is very different than how people see us. Mm-hmm. In many cases, people have a different perspective of us. You know, like I've heard people be like, oh, I'm so quiet. And I'm like, girl, you be talking all the time.
All the time.
You know, so your idea of who you are is not always accurate. And so when you're giving this to people who are interested in developing, it's really not a healing moment for them. It's not doing the thing that you think it should do. And there may be some other ways to share that in the moment of, I didn't answer my phone because I was busy. It doesn't have to be, I didn't answer my phone because I don't enjoy talking to you. That's not what you need to say.
Right.
But sometimes we'll do that. And we want to tell them, I don't enjoy talking to you because you're always talking about your health issues and it makes me really drained and blah, blah, blah. And this person is like, well, that's what I like to talk about. And I'm going to keep talking about it.
Yeah, exactly. It's doing no one any good. So.
It's doing no one any good.
This is crazy.
Oh my gosh. This is like such powerful work that you're doing. Yeah. And I know we're up on time, but I just want to thank you so much because I really hope people can listen to this. Well, first of all, you got to get the books.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll link them in the show notes. They're incredible. And I just want to thank you for empowering people to take a look into how boundaries are impacting their life, because I believe it's a root thing. I believe it's directly related to the quality of our life experience. So thank you so much, Nedra, for your time. Where can people find you on social media?
Well, I am on most socials as Nedra Tawab. I have 4 books, Set Boundaries, Find Peace, the Set Boundaries Workbook, Drama Free, and the Drama Free Workbook. Pick up one or pick up all. Thank you.
Thank you again, Nedra.
Thank you, Nedra.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for listening, and we hope you enjoyed today's show. Now, before you go, it would mean a lot to us if you could take a moment right now to subscribe to the podcast and then leave us a review. This helps spread the word so more people can feel lighter by shedding one belief at a time. Also, we want to hear from you. So if this episode impacted you or you have any questions that you think would be great for us or any of our future guests, please feel free to email us at podcast@weshape.com. And finally, if you want to try WeShape's different approach to health and fitness, make sure you click the link in our podcast description or go to weshape.com/free, where you can build your first workout and activate your 2-week free trial. See you next week.